This edition of Farm in the Countryside is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, weather or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com. Welcome to Farm in the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Marion Calmer is consistently one of our most popular guests. The inventor of the 15-inch and 12-inch corn head is back to share his latest on-farm trials and what practices he's using in his fields to create the best ROI in 2021. It's our topic for this week's Farm in the Countryside. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. In 2020, I had the chance to use a new corn nitrogen product firsthand in my fields, Pivot BioProven. Pivot BioProven adheres to the root of the corn plant, creating a mutually beneficial nitrogen-generating partnership that stays strong all the way through harvest. It's the weather-resistant and sustainable way to achieve more predictable and more productive yields than ever before. After a successful trial run in 2020, I hope you'll follow me on an expanded use of Pivot BioProven in the 2021 growing season. If you're like me and want to make sure your corn has the nitrogen it needs, weather or not, then check out Pivot BioProven. It'll change the way you think about nitrogen. You can learn more at pivotbio.com. I always enjoy the chance to visit with Marion Calmer. First and foremost, he is a farmer, but he is also an inventor and what I'd term as an on-farm scientist. He spends plenty of time looking at ways he can adjust his farming practices to grow a bigger crop with a better ROI and do it in a way that builds the soil. Many people know him for the equipment and parts he's designed for corn heads. He spent much time on residue management, and while that may sound like an unusual place to begin a conversation about corn as we're ready to plant a new crop, that's where we began, and then brought our conversation around to topics like fertility, row spacing, and how higher grain prices might influence some of the cropping practices used this year. Marion Calmer is my guest, and Marion has been a guest here on Farming the Countryside in the past. I always enjoy the time to visit with him, and have quite a background. You know, you do a lot of field trials, and we'll get into that in a moment. You have corn heads that you build at various row spacings. We'll probably talk about that some, but I think that your company probably is best known for residue management, and perhaps that's where we should start. Maybe you want to describe some of what you do as far as residue management, but then jump into why that's so important, because I know you've done extensive research over the years about how we manage residue and how that is really important to the crop that we're going to grow. So that's pretty broad, but I'm going to let you take it from there as we open up today.
All righty. Well, thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you having me on today. And I guess, you know, that most everything that I do is kind of a problem, and then I look for a solution. I'm not much different than any other farmer, you know, started right out of high school. And for me, the residue issue hit in the mid to late 90s. I'd gone to narrow rows, growing 15-inch corn, and then, of course, the BT genetics, and it just didn't take very long at all, and I was growing residue faster than I could get it to decompose. And I knew I needed to do something, and so we started working on the stalk rolls, and just, you know, one little idea led to the next idea to the next idea, and we just kept perfecting it. And now, today, of course, we struggle to make many improvements to the Calmer VT chopper, but essentially, I felt I needed to be an asset to Mother Nature on the residue side of things. So we like to chop it up into pieces that are an inch, inch and a quarter long. We're using 10 razor sharp blades on our stalk roll. It has the patented revolving window where it opens up, lets the stalk in, and then we grab it and chew it up. So I think, you know, some days I wonder, sometimes you invent things by luck, but the shearing of the corn stalk, we shear it into two halves, which is really unique. Cutting to length is one thing, but you open that pith up, and boy, Mother Nature really likes that. The earthworms, the microbes, the bacteria really accelerate their performance as we return Mother Nature's nutrients back into the soil. So we're getting that corn stalk, the nitrogen, the P and the K. We're going to get it out of there as quick as we can, get it back into the soil so we can use it for the next year's crop.
I know that you're big on testing, of course, field trials and so forth. Over the years, what does getting that residue down into those smaller pieces mean as far as getting that crop in, getting it up, and then getting those nutrients available to that crop as it's growing during the season?
Right. For me, in soybeans, I've seen a 2 to 4 bushel jump. And you think that's kind of funny because soybeans are, you know, they're pretty tolerable to a lot of planting conditions, growing conditions. But the studies that I've done at my farm, 2 to 4 bushel, I don't think it's anything more than that. But still, that's worth something. And when I'm no-tilling my soybeans into standing corn stalks, that's important. The mechanical side at 15-inch rows, you know, you almost get too much residue and the planter wants to plug. So there's the mechanical side and then there's the yield side. Now, on the flip side of that, continuous corn, and we have a lot of guys running continuous corn, and of course the residue is one thing, and a lot of those guys might be conventional tillage as well, but I haven't done a lot of that, but University of Illinois, Dr. Belo and Connor and some of his grad students, they're in there 6 to 10 bushel on continuous corn. So, you know, all of a sudden now we corn's back up closer to $5 a bushel, 40, 50 bucks an acre, and it doesn't take very long to, you know, get a return on investment. I mean, these are parts of wear out on the corn head. Let's buy something that, as we use it, gives us a yield advantage. Therefore, I purchased something that's making me money.
You mentioned Dr. Belo there, and I know you've been on a webinar discussing some of this. What were some of the things that were brought out in that webinar, just as far as residue management and things that we should be thinking of before we ever put a crop in the ground as we think about harvest and then looping around to the next spring?
Well, their feelings was, you know, they're studying both the mechanical degradation of residue has a yield advantage, and the biologicals have a yield advantage. But at the end of the day, let's use them both, and so we're giving some thought to, you know. As we're harvesting with the corn head, can I spray just a little something on the stover and really, really kickstart that decomposition? I mean, where we're at here, you know, in northwestern Illinois along the Mississippi River, we do a pretty good job by spring. It's just kind of the rind or the bark of that corn stalk that's left. Everything else has been pretty much decomposed. But as you start to move further north, you know, they don't have the luxuries that we do. Colder weather, later harvest, later spring, and so residue decomposition for those folks is important. But I'm, you know, at the cost of everything that we do nowadays, both mechanical and biologicals, I think are something that we're looking at in the future because we're growing bigger crops every year. And you know, Dave Hula is a great buddy of mine, runs our super choppers in that 600 bushel corn. And I mean, you know, he's dealing with twice the tonnage of residue, and then they're double cropping, and Randy Dowdy's the same way down there. So I just don't see a lot of downside. I like that. I'm getting two wins almost every fall and every spring with working on getting the residue to decompose.
You're there at Alpha, Illinois. So for folks that don't know where that is, you're halfway between the Quad Cities and Galesburg, I believe.
That is correct.
So you, as we mentioned, you do a lot of testing. Do you personally no-till basically all of what you do? Is that what practice you're using?
Yep. In the mid-80s, you know, started doing research trials and, of course, learned an awful lot about sidewall compaction. And, of course, that was before, you know, the advancements in row cleaners and you know, seed firmers. I mean, the whole thing's evolved quite well. So I'm a big fan of no-till. I like protecting the soil. But it's like any other system It's got a few flaws, and I'm currently starting to work on getting those out. And in a long term no-till, if I'm spreading nutrients on top of the ground, I've noticed some issues with getting a return on investment. But then that led me to the next question. Well, am I getting stratification? And the answer is yes. My stratification issues are far greater than I ever dreamt that they would be.
I'm interested this last year, anything, you're always doing the research, anything that was interesting this last year that jumped out to you and surprised you? I know, again, you've had years and years of track record to go back to, but what about this past year? Anything interesting?
The big one was the fertility plots that I have. When I'm spreading it on top, my return on investment, it's there, but it's not as great as the return on investment that I get from nitrogen. So the, you know, nitrogen, we're getting almost for every dollar we spend, we get about $4 back. I mean, up to a certain point, you can't go wild with nitrogen. On the P and K, there's some years where it's just a wash. There's been a few years where I lost money, but now recently, after 10, 11, 12 years, we're starting to see that, the addition of P and K are important, but the spread on an 8-inch soil core that I pull, and my daughter just graduated from University of Illinois, so she went with me, and we were out there late one night with the lights on in the truck, and we would pull cores, and then we would cut it up into 8 little chunks of soil. And we would put it into 8 different bags. And my gosh, I mean, we had, overall, we had the correct amount of nutrients in that 8-inch soil profile. Our average, you know, K-tests are running 350, 370. Our average P1 test, now we're in pounds per acre here in Illinois, and our P1 tests on the phosphorus, we were doing good, 45 to 50 on overall. But when you break it down and when you look at it inch by inch, I mean, we're running 600 on K in the top inch, and then it drops to 5, and then it drops to 4. By the time we got 8 inches deep, you know, my K tests are like 150, 180. And I'm sitting there looking at the corn plant or bean plant, and Mother Nature, you know, she has a few roots in the top inch or two, but there's not a lot of water there in a dry summer. But the majority of the roots are down there, you know, 6 inches, 8 inches deep. So, the common sense goes off in my mind. I've been farming. I'm 64 now. And I'm sitting there going, oh, this is really great, Mary. And you got all of the nutrients in the top portion of the profile. All of the corn roots are in the bottom portion of the profile. And that's when the light bulb starts going off.
So how has that then changed your farming practices? Because I know we've visited before, P and K, do you do much with your P and K then?
Well, yeah, we've just, now that we've discovered what the problem was, it wasn't, you know, I always felt that it just, I just really didn't need a lot of P and K because I wasn't getting much of a response. And when you spread it on the top, it wasn't doing me any good. But number two, I don't know that it did Mother Nature any good to have the P and K laying on the top. So we're moving to the root zone banding. So if we're going to have if we're going to have roots 8 inches deep, my gosh, let's blow the P and K down there to accommodate it. And sometimes I was looking at pictures of root balls that, you know, where the college students had washed them out. And I sometimes think that the root pattern also reflects the where the nutrient loading is at in the soil profile. So, and I mean, even, you know, we have roots that go deeper than 8 inches. So why in the heck wouldn't we want to put the P and K down there? But it really, the surface thing is something I've been doing for a long time. You know, phosphorus is supposed to move maybe 1 to 3 inches. K is supposed to move 2 to 4. And, you know, I've got all the earthworms, you know, we hear all that. But, you know, the earthworms are working, you know, almost every night trying to move nutrients down. They're just not moving it fast enough. The corn plant's pulling it out of the lower portion of the profile faster than the nutrients can move down to it. So I think I've got a help here, and I'm moving more toward that strip tilling, probably 20-inch rows, and blow the P and K down there where it belongs.
You mentioned the row spacing there, and you've done a lot of research on that. So 20-inch rows, is that what you're at, 15? You do, I know, a variety, because you've built the heads to take care of a variety of a different row spacing.
You know, and that's fine, but I'm always really honest with everybody. I mean, granted, I'm the guy that invented the world's first 15-inch corn head, and also the guy that invented the first 12-inch corn head. And all of that's fine and dandy. And in places, in parts of the country where they're under full tillage, you know, they got a lot of black soil, they don't have a lot of erosion, whatever it is, everybody's different. You know, I think 12-inch and 15-inch, they got a place. For me, where I've got some gently rolling ground, and I like to compromise, you know, with Mother Nature. And I think that strip tilling is a good compromise. I can get some darker soil. I can get the nutrients down in the profile. I can keep the interaction between the kernels or the soybean and residue. That's the other thing I don't like about. I can sweep that residue, but I got to get it out of there because I don't want to incorporate it 2 inches deep. Because then I've preloaded the seed trench with residue, and then next spring it may look black on top, but 2 inches deep I've got residue, and that's no good. So I think there's a time and a place. I think a little bit of tillage right in the row, get the nutrients, get some good seed-to-soil contact, and then between the rows, let's leave the residue. Let's leave a home for all our earthworms, microbes, and that's, you know, that's where the erosion is going to take place is on a heavy rain in the summertime. So even though I'm the inventor of 15-inch, we're looking at 20s strip tilling, and then I can get the best of both worlds.
I always appreciate the research that you do because it's very much focused on return on investment. So I wanted to be sure to ask you that as we head into this year and our commodity prices are certainly at levels that they weren't at last year and haven't been for a while, has that changed then some of the practices that you think that we should look at this year, because we're starting with certainly a higher guarantee on some of these bushels that we plan to grow?
Oh, absolutely. Of all the research that I've done, you know, on those day-to-day decisions that I make as a farmer, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, nitrogen is the one that's really got the horsepower, really got the return on investment. And so this year, with the anticipation of the higher commodity prices, we're starting to do a little more spoon feeding of the nitrogen. I do like to try to keep it in the soil. We're in an area of the country where we're allowed to fall apply it, put some N-serve on. We're also going to put a little bit down with the herbicides this spring, which is something we normally don't do, but we certainly are this year. And hopefully we'll catch some timely rains. And you can't really predict the weather, but nitrogen is very responsive to moisture, and it moves. And this is the one thing I learned, that nitrogen moves about 4 feet in the soil profile. And as it rains, it moves down lower in the profile, and then as it dries, then the nitrogen comes back up. So it's like a sine wave. It's cycling up and down in about a 3 to 4 foot window in that soil profile. Of course, we'd like to keep it close to the corn roots. And so depending on what the weather does, maybe I need some nitrogen closer to the top. Maybe I need some right in the root zone, or maybe I need some 12 inches deep. I think if I put a little in each one of those areas, regardless of what the weather does, the corn plant's going to have nitrogen when it needs it. Of course, with 20-inch rows, then we will start to have the luxury of being able to do maybe the side dressing on 40-inch centers versus 15-inch rows. I just it's almost impossible to side dress. I mean, with auto steer and everything else, it's getting better, but pretty tough to get in between 15-inch rows for side dress.
Mary, you always have so much good information, so I don't want to cut you short on anything that you want to be sure to work in. So as we kind of conclude here, are there any things that you've been wanting to work in because you're dealing with a lot of stuff and a lot of farmers and you see an awful lot of territory? So what things do we need to be thinking about yet that we haven't covered?
Well, it sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, maybe we'll get a chance to do another one of these visits prior to harvest. But, you know, I've been producing these little short Marion Minute videos on how to set combines, whether it's green ones or red ones. And I always close with my cell phone number, even though my last 20-some, 30 years has been devoted to corn heads. I get like 25 to 30 phone calls a day. They're on combines, and I only get like one or two anymore on corn heads. So I want to pass along, number one, it's my cell phone number. Is 309-368-1182. And you're struggling with your combine, like I have several times, and it's always nice to call somebody, and on certain days, we just want to vent. By gosh, we're just really having trouble getting the combine to do what we want. The one that comes back that everybody loves, and it's been one of the number one ag YouTube videos that's watched at harvest time, it's where I talk about setting the sieves on the combine. And I learned this from my case dealer when I was in my 20s, and it works on John Deere combines, gleaners, red, yellow, green, gray. It doesn't make any difference. The thing that I tell everybody is there is no part of a ear of corn that needs to be rethreshed. Therefore, that bottom sieve, regardless of color, the bottom sieve needs to be wide open. And I'm just going to clean the grain tank using the top sieve and to keep the cobs out of the grain tank. And by opening the bottom sieve, now I can get the wind to come up there. And the whole combine just works so much better. And the text messages, feel free to send me text or pictures. My gosh, it just everybody says, my gosh, that was just such a great improvement to my combine. I just wanted to pass that one along. I know it's not agronomic, and it's not something you can sell, but it's just something that all the farmers say, I don't know why somebody didn't teach me that before. And I've been working with both, you know, Case and Deere, trying to get them to rewrite their owner's manual, because there is no part of an ear of corn that needs to be rethreshed. The kernels don't need to be rethreshed. The cob doesn't need to be rethreshed. Clean it right the first time, and you got a nice sample in the grain tank.
I can attest you will help guys that decide to text or call. It's nice that you put your number out there. I don't know how you deal with everybody, but I appreciate it. And we'll also have to circle back, because it would be good to talk before harvest, because as you mentioned, that tip that you just gave is one that I remember, but there are a lot of tips that we need to think about when we get to harvest.
It is. And it's just, you know, the farmers, they call and they're struggling and they're upset. It's just, The anxiety and the stress levels at harvest are phenomenal because we're all running so many acres. And boy, just one phone call to the right person and a couple little minor changes, and all of a sudden I get to, you know, I've worked all year and I want to ride in the combine stress fee. I want to enjoy. That's the celebration of my year's worth of work. And so you betcha, I love talking to farmers and helping them out. It was one of the things taught to me by my family, my ancestors, my neighbors, my church. You get far more out of life by helping and giving than you do by taking.
Good advice, no matter what you do. I appreciate the time today, and wish you all the best for the 2021 season.
All righty. Well, it's good to visit with you as well, Andrew, and appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
It may sound strange for a guy to give out his cell phone number on a broadcast, but Marion truly does enjoy helping other farmers, and I found he likes to hear what's working and not working on farms. I first met Marion when we transitioned from 30-inch to 15-inch corn rows. We liked the narrow rows, and we didn't increase our planting population, but rather this allowed the plants to have more space within the row. In fact, each corn plant is about 12 inches apart within our rows and 15 inches apart between the rows. We believe the more even spacing within and between rows has provided a yield boost. But I should emphasize, that's on our farm, where the soil is certainly not like the prime crop ground in places like Iowa and Illinois. Marion mentioned that row spacing is dependent on a lot of factors, and I certainly agree. Be sure to connect with us with your story and topic ideas. The easiest way to get in touch is by following the program on Facebook. Just look for Farming the Countryside there. We highlight each week's program, plus other info you can use. And you can always follow our daily feature, American Countryside, on Facebook, or go to AmericanCountryside.com or your local radio station. As always, thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com.